Kiribosai, thank you for coming.
The big auction off at the end.
So, wait, you want to speak first? Okay.
Want to welcome everybody for coming on behalf of my wife and I. Want to welcome everybody to our house and thank you for coming and for the Yeshiva annual alumni Baltimore Lava Malka. It's a tremendous schuss for us to have the Yeshiva of Aaron Reingold here. It's really a tremendous schuss for me and my family. And to really have this Lava Malka, and camaraderie and in achdus and support of the Yeshiva and bringing back good times together. I just want to share a quick word, and I know no one's here to hear me speak, but I want to share just a quick thought. It says this, I didn't really prepare, but it says this is Parsha Vayitzi Abi Rashav Yal Charana, and he says, the whole story, Vayasem Rashi Sav, he took all the stones and he surrounded himself with the stones around his head. And Rashi says in that Pasuk that why did he put stones around his head? In order to protect himself from animals, from wild animals. He was nervous about, sleeping there, there'd be wild animals. So the kasha is, why did he surround the stones only by his head? Wasn't he afraid by his body also? Why just his head did he surround himself, with stones? So I heard from Rabbi Silber this past week, and some of you might have heard of this past Friday, but I heard from Rabbi Silber, I think he said the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that why did he surround himself with stones? Is that the reason is because he wasn't afraid for his guf. He was afraid that he was leaving his father's house. He was leaving his yeshiva. He was leaving his Torah from his father. He was going outside. He was running away from his brother. He was going to find parnassah. He was going to find a wife. And he was afraid of what the outside world is going to have an effect on him. And that's why he surrounds himself with stones. It wasn't he was afraid of his guf. He was afraid of his ruchnias. He was afraid of what the outside world can bring him. And that was his bakasha to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he surrounded himself with stones not because he was afraid of the physical ailments. He was afraid of the spiritual ailments when he went out, leaving his father's house, leaving surround himself, from the yeshiva. So I think this kind of resonated with this event, right, obviously we left yeshiva a long time ago, but this is like the time where, for me personally, where I could, surround myself with the stones to kind of bring back the yeshiva days and bring back, the Torah and the achdus and the camaraderie. This is what it brings to me, and this is what I hope, it can bring to all of you. On a final note, I just want to, and I hope Ryan goes mocha me, but I'd like to, encourage everybody. Yeshiva's having a dinner in a couple weeks. Everybody might have got this little card from Yitzhak Labelle.
I have more of
it. There's a dinner December 16th. It really be a strong, I encourage everybody to join myself and my wife, who are Mertz Hashem, I'm going to go to the dinner and support the yeshiva. We don't really, come, it's not a fundraiser of any sort. It's not meant for this event. But I think it'd be a truly strong covet to Rabbi Reingold, really to show our cards to Tov. Rabbi Reingold's always been there for us. I think everybody here has some kind of kesher to Rabbi Reingold, whether it's,
positive or negative.
Whether it's a shayla, whether it's a luchik shayla you asked, whether it's for hadracha in life. I'm sure everybody here has some kind of, relationship with Rabbi Reingold. And I think it'd be a tremendous, cover to Rebbe to show really strong support. So I encourage everybody to join yeshiva at the dinner this year to show our cards to Rabbi Reingold. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Rabbi Reingold.
Okay, Tov, thank you. Thank you for two things. First, it was a beautiful word, and thank you for opening your home, for announcing the dinner. Maybe with a different question. We will survive it. My wife told me she's looking forward to December 17th. Okay. I usually, since it's a pre-Chanukah gathering, and the topic is focused on something Chanukah-related, so I'm looking back over what we've done over all the years, and this has been already been a few years we've been doing this. So I think a lot of the areas which I wanted to touch on, I think, which are very relevant in Hilchos Chanukah, but beyond the regular standard halachas, which you don't need me for, I've touched on. So I was thinking about doing something else, which is partially, we'll call it parsha-related. In this week's parsha, there's Yaakov Avinu is going and works as a worker, works as a hired hand for Lavan. And the Rambam actually takes this the psukim about Yaakov Avinu, and he uses that as a paradigm, what it means to be a worker. Now, some of you are workers. Few of you are actually employers as opposed to employees. So, just for the employers, I want to give the following caveat. There's a mitzvah with the Dessler, and he says, there are halachas that a couple came to him to get engaged. He says, there are halachas the Rambam brings about the responsibilities of the husband to the wife. And the halachas are responsible of the wife to the husband. So as long as the husband is working about his responsibility to the wife, and the wife is worrying about her responsibilities to the husband, you have a great marriage. But the day the husband starts worrying about the wife's responsibilities to the husband, and the wife starts worrying about the husband's responsibilities to the wife, that's the end. So for those of you who are employers, this is not about what walk out. You know, like employers are not really doing that. The employers aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. You don't want to. That shouldn't be the focus. You know, there's a section of halachas of what the employer's responsibility to his employees are. So I want to read you a Rambam, and I think it's just the language of the Rambam is fascinating. Rabbi Lapiansky Rosh Yeshiva has this in his Yisari HaTorah in the Parsha. So if you want to look it up, it's in the Rambam and Hilchos Chiras. And if you want to look up on the Sefer, here's on page 202. Uh-huh. Okay.
It's probably in the new Sefer also, no?
It is.
Okay. So the introduction to this is that there are certain things that responsibilities that the employer has to the employee in regards to providing food. The employee has regards to the employer in regards to not taking food when he's not allowed to take the food, etc. And the Rambam goes to those points. You're even allowed to starve yourself a little beforehand so you can get more food from when you come to work. He's allowed to, the same thing with your animal. You're allowed to skip the animal's lunch the day before. When he comes to thresh, he'll eat more. And the balabais is allowed to put out a lot of straw before he gets to the threshing floor that the animal should eat the straw and not eat the grain. Okay? That's mutter. We're good Jews. You know, we have a mahalach how to do with these things. Okay. Now, the pearl cannot have one job at nighttime and then rent himself out for a different job by day. Or do his own work at nighttime. I use the animal for threshing. You know, I want to rent it out by day, so I'll do a night thresh with my animal and I'll rent it out by day with the next one. He has limited amount of food. So he says, you know what? My kids have to eat. I'll give it to my kids, and I won't eat. I'll eat less, because when you're being hired as a worker, I mean, they gezel malachos shabalabais. If you are weakened to the point that you cannot do your work when you come to the balabais appropriately, because you didn't eat properly the night before, even though you did it because you want to make sure your kids have food to eat, you're called a gazlan. He can't do the malach appropriately. This is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, the Sif, that a person who's a hired hand is not allowed to starve himself. The modern version of this, can't go on a diet, right? We're not really starving ourselves, but you can't go on a diet. Walk in the work feeling weak, unless with, I guess, we shush on the owner. And he can't stay up late, because he has to be wide awake when he's coming to work. Now, this is brought down both in Hilchos Parle, it was also brought down in Hilchos Malamdim. I know, I shouldn't be talking. Says that a person who's a Malamed has to be fresh when he comes to something. He can't be staying up late learning, even for learning, it says. He has to get a good night's sleep. Now, occasionally, a person has an occasional situation, obviously that's acceptable. So I would, you know, we'll go to see the next halach in a second, but it was interject over here. Whenever you're dealing with halachas, the halacha responsibilities between the employer and the employee, really, there's three things which define the halacha. The first thing is contract. These are areas of halacha which contract is going to be valid. I have a right to contract any type of arrangement we want to make between the employer and the employee. They can make any type of contract they want. That is the first thing you're going to look at. If there's no contract, the next thing you look at is minhag ha'makom, which would be called nowadays industry standard. If there's industry standard expectation of what you're supposed to be doing, whether you're a lawyer, the expectation of how you're supposed to be working for the firm, whether you're a person who's teaching, whatever they're doing, there are certain standards, what's expected. We'll talk about that in a second, or about managerial leeway. The manager has a certain amount of leeway. Once if there's no contract and there's no minhag ha'makom, there's no industry standard, then halacha is going to govern what's brought down in halacha. And that being said, the halacha recognizes the fact that things might have changed a little bit. For example, Kedash was a balabai shalom ligzol schar ani v'lo yakvenu. The balabai has a responsibility to make sure he pays on time, etc. Kach ani muzer shalom yigzol b'lechas balabais. The ani, meaning the worker, can't steal from the b'lechas balabais. V'yivatul mat mikan, b'kan mat mikan. What you call Yom Mirma, he's going to waste his day because he's busy standing by the water cooler, schmoozing. Modern version, he's surfing the net, right? Right? You know, I just looking up my email, just checking my email, you know. So how many times a day are you allowed to check your email? Fair question. How do I know? Fascinating, didn't go more. The more says the parlim are working the fields, did not bench the fourth bracha to the rabbanon. The chazal took away the bracha. This way the person was available for the work and he wasn't interrupting for the extra. Now, unless you assume the old things, they used to bench very slowly, right? You know, like a 15-minute benching. I mean, how long does the fourth bracha of a benching take? A minute? A minute and a half? You know, I don't know. You know, really through 2 minutes? I don't know. Like 30 seconds? You know, no. And matter of fact, the more says that not even that, not only that, but the second, third bracha became one bracha. The first, they would say the first bracha. The second, third is one bracha. And then the fourth bracha, not at all. Like, so it's a difference of a minute and a half. God, you're stealing from the Balabais. That's how Chazal saw the responsibility of a poel vis-a-vis the worker. A person not only does we remark back on zman, we remark back on effort. Yaakov HaTzadik Omar, keep a kol koychi of Vatias Avichen. Now, chayv lava b'kol koychi. The Rambam says chayv lava b'kol koychi. It's not a frumkeit. It's a chiyuv. The Rambam sees this poshut as a chiyuv. A person is whatever he's doing, he has to do b'kol koychi. So that's what he said before. You can't be tired. You can't be hungry. You can't be worn out. And that's why, besides getting his scar in Olam Haba, he got a scar in Olam Haza, because he took this very seriously. But the Rambam says this is a chiyuv. This is not a frumkeit. This is mamash a chiyuv gomer, that a person has a responsibility to do that. Now, that's clear in halacha that nowadays we let the person bench the fourth bracha. We assume nobody's makbid on that. And if you have an employer who's makbid on that minute and a half of your work, you probably have other problems besides. now the range of issues which the poskim grapple with, you know, davening mincha, we assume that, you know, if, you know, to take a, most people get a lunch break nowadays. There's such a thing as a lunch break, but you should use part of your lunch break for davening mincha. Do you have a right to leave your workplace to go to a place where there's a minyan and come back? You know, unless this, you're the arrangement you have with your boss is that you can set your own hours so you can stay later to the car, you're taking away from the time. So you would have to ask the manager beforehand that you have a right to do that. You can't just do that. Now the manager has discretion. Now the two types, there's different types of work. Certain work that the person's given, you know, you have to do 40 hours a week. I don't care when you do it. Fine. So then you're the bala boss. I want you there for these 40 hours. The other end of the spectrum, or whatever the number is, but you need to be there, so you can't just pick up and leave. So going to a minyan would be a problem. I think going to a minyan would be a problem unless, now can a manager give you, usually a manager is authorized to make these type of decisions, but there's managers. You get a manager which he takes his job seriously, and so that being said, he says, you know what, it's okay, fine. You know, listen, you know, you and I know that, you know, the boss is crazy. Don't worry, I'll cover for you. That's not mutter. He means he's abusing his right to be a manager. So that's not mutter, only mutter either. Practically, to work this out, halacha l'maisa, if people ask me different shalas about it, it's very hard to give a klal halacha l'maisa because each time there's industry standards which play a big role. Nowadays, there's a certain expectation that we want to give an employee a certain amount of downtime to refresh himself during the day. They recognize that people have their rhythms and they work better if they get a chance to ever take a little break here and there. Chazal, you know, we had the guy working from dawn to dusk. You know, it was a real job. I don't think any of us, no, you know, not that true. Some of you guys are working straight like that, you know, 10, 12 hours straight without a break. You weren't allowed to eat, you know. You eating had to be done while you're working. You weren't given time to eat. I don't think that's a different type of a mindset of what it means to work. So that's not the reality. So the reality is different. But at least I think the message of what it means, the Rambam calls it gezel. In other words, English. He hired your hours. For these hours, he owns these hours. You don't own them. He owns them. That's what it means to hire somebody. The Lashon of, you know, the Gemara says that Skir says Mimkar L'Yayma. When I hire something, I buy that time. So the owner bought, the person who hires you bought these hours. They belong to him, not to you. So you're going to have to make sure that there's either a clear contract, or there's a clear industry standard, or that you've asked permission. Because we go straight halacha, there's very minimal things you're allowed to be doing. That's the point I wanted to share. I think it's very important to understand that. Now, for those of you who are employers, that's going to be a different conversation. What it means to be an employer, there's a lot of responsibilities of an employer vis-a-vis employee, etc. Anything which has been put into American law in regards to these type of things creates a minhag hamakom. So whether you get involved in a mechuzah dinner or not, it's irrelevant, because once, even if you say din mechuzah doesn't override halacha, but once it creates a minhag hamakom, so then it does. So that's what Farish Yerushalmi, that minhag overrides halacha, these type of things. When it comes to din mamonis, whatever the standard minhag is becomes the standard halacha procedure, because that's what everybody expects. So anything which would be codified into American law in regards to employer-employee relationships and responsibilities is going to become recognized as the valid standard in halacha. So that's the point I wanted to share with you, to understand the significance of what it means. It's a mishmash for me also. The sleeping part especially, the melamed, the sleeping part. So now, Baruch Hashem, I think I get it through first Seder pretty decent. I don't know. Okay, just don't say anything. Yeah. It's what to think about. You know, that occasionally a person has to do something that's called standard, but otherwise it's a person has a practical halacha l'maaseh shaila. You should definitely be asking a rav on the issue.